Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
Of course, we followed the House of Representatives dealing with foreign aid, bills that were passed over the weekend and carried across to the Senate side. The Senate will begin their deliberations on that later this afternoon and will likely take a final vote on the $95 billion allocated to our allies, to humanitarian efforts in Israel, in Ukraine, in Taiwan. And the question is, how did the Republican leadership in the House go about getting to the final passage of those bills so they could send them on to the Senate? So we want to get past the headlines of all of that. What influenced Speaker of the House Mike Johnson to take the path that he did and how he actually got it done? And so let's get beyond those headlines and let's think again.
Think you know the news of the day? Think again with Boyd Matheson on KSL News Radio.
Always pleased to have joining us on the program, Representative Blake Moore. And Representative, obviously a very hectic week last week, rolling into the weekend there in our nation's capital. You were in the room where a lot of those conversations happened. Just give us your perspective. We've been talking about Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, his willingness to put those into much smaller bills so you could have very specific votes. And it was really this idea of, hey, this is the right thing. And if it cost me my job, it cost me my job. That willingness to say it's time to act and do. Give us your perspective in terms of how that all played out.
Yeah, I would just add just on the outset, I've never been more impressed with somebody when we can look at the conference and say, look, I know this is the direction that we need to go. We have to act on these things, and I don't care if it potentially causes me to lose my job. I think in politics, we all have to be that way to some degree. This shouldn't be, he wasn't seeking this out, and he was willing to do something difficult and took a lot of criticism for it. And I obviously believe it was the right direction. And these things have been, you know, plaguing us for months and months and months. There was a lot that went into all of these conversations, and things have unfolded in Israel, in the Middle East, you know, while these plans have been on the docket needing to get done. And I'm proud of the fact that he was willing to take that risk and move forward.
Yeah, I think it's actually the one question all of us as voters should look at, and that is, before you vote for anybody in any elected office, is what are they willing to do the right thing, even if it costs them their job? And if you can't find that, you're not going to find a lot of political courage or a spine when they actually need it the most. I think that's just a crucial piece of this. Whether people agree or disagree on the policy, that those are different debates. But I think the process matters. And I know that's one of the things that you've looked at since you've been back in Washington, D.C., is getting back to that regular order and process. Because then even if the result is not what you want, you can at least say, hey, we did the right process. And usually that's going to lead you to a better result.
Speaker Johnson made it a strong point to say, we need to let the House work its will. And everybody came in at a different perspective, whether you were talking Indo-Pacific, you're talking Ukraine or Israel, or the thing that's going to get left out is that fourth bill that we did that I think is one of the most strongest key pieces to all of this. And that was the part of the Repo Act. Mm. Russia had, there are the Western world from our European allies to us, we have hundreds of billions of dollars of Russian seized central bank assets that in times of conflict like this, you have an opportunity to seize that and repurpose that. And they've invaded Ukraine, and there's an opportunity to seize and repurpose and use that money to strengthen Ukraine, to also hopefully bring Russia to the negotiating table to end this conflict. Everybody wants to end this conflict, and we've now initiated strength that we've never had before with regards to the what's called the Repo Act, to take that Russian money and provide it and transfer it to Ukraine so they can use that as strength to fend off this aggression.
Yeah, I think it's an important component to that. Give us a little sense from your conversations with your colleagues back there in terms of the messages that what was passed over the weekend send, not just to specific allies of Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan, but what does it send to other allies around the world, and what message is it sending to our adversaries around the world?
China invades Taiwan, like many things have pointed towards, and Xi Jinping has emphasized. Hopefully it's something we can deter If he does that, we have a 9% drop in our GDP. Like, that's what the estimate is. That's a far bigger cost than this, than what we just did in this piece that allows for Taiwan to have capital to purchase, you know, U.S. Artillery and defense weapons. And it's a cost to us. It absolutely is. You and I have talked on this show numerous times about our debt and deficit woes. If we go into global conflict, it is going to be far worse on our fiscal situation than if we're able to have a country like going to Ukraine now. These folks are willing to fight for themselves. These folks are willing to defend their own liberty. And if we're providing them some resources that largely is replenishing our own stocks, and most of that money is actually still spent in the U.S. and portions of it that aren't, like a $9 billion humanitarian piece that will help restore some of that. Well, Europe's doing most of the humanitarian work. That's another misconception. But we're forming that in a loan package that President Trump, of all people, that was his idea. And we took it and ran with it and actually put it into legislation. So there is all that nuance that kind of goes into all these discussions. But, you know, from October 7th and providing Israel what they need to replenish their Iron Dome and also help the Palestinian people that are caught in this horrible conflict that Hamas has created, you know, that's that part of that package. What I talked about with Indo-Pacific and making sure that Taiwan has their ability to purchase defense mechanisms. In Ukraine, they're fighting themselves. We do not want a NATO conflict over there that we have to put men and women, U.S. troops in that theater. And if we can do that and strengthen them and hopefully end this conflict, and I'm hopeful that this gets us in that direction.
Yeah. One of the components that I think was really the hotly contested piece for a number of months now has been dealing with our own border, our own immigration challenges and security down at the southern border. Give us a sense in terms of where that conversation has been, how it kind of ebbed and flowed over the course of the last week, and then what you see as the possibility as it relates to that moving forward.
So it actually ebbs and flows back to September. And I have to constantly remind folks that when we had an opportunity right before the government would be set to shut down, or you could do a month-long extension of that, we had a bill on the floor, heavily supported by folks like Jim Jordan and members of Dusty Johnson. They negotiated this piece within our conference that would do our border bill that ends catch and release, and it reinstates Remain in Mexico, and all those things that we know have had success in dealing with the cartels down at the border. We had 21 Republicans vote against it for 1 month of government funding. And so now, when we finalize the appropriations process, Speaker Johnson doesn't even have all of the Republicans supporting border policy when you exchange it with you know, like a government funding appropriations bill. And there's a sizable group of a minority, definitely, but they wouldn't do a bill that was strongly supportive of our border and also supporting some of our allies. And so Speaker Johnson doesn't have the leverage to get everything that we want at the border. There was opportunities over the last several months to look at a negotiated peace. The Senate had been working on something that had Ukraine support, Israel support, as well as, changes in our immigration policy. And it wasn't everything that we wanted in the House Republican side. I will admit, too, that it didn't do enough of the things like ending catch and release and fixing parole authority that we wanted. But Speaker Johnson doesn't have that leverage right now, right, with a two-seat majority and a Democrat in the White House with Chuck Schumer. He just doesn't have that leverage. And we tried to find a way to cobble this together. I have criticisms of our own side by not willing to articulate, okay, what wins can we have? Can we just do ending catch and release, still an enormous amount of support for Ukraine? If we had catch and release ended with Ukraine, you would have actually had even more Republicans last Saturday supporting the Ukraine package. You wouldn't have had everybody, but you would have had several more. Yeah. And that was our missed opportunity as Republicans. And that's why I appreciate coming on this show, because I can criticize, Democrat policy or President Biden, but I can also show a little bit of the inside on where we've come short. Yeah. And that was the part that, having Russian tanks enter Kyiv is a sight that no American should want to see. But also, I'm concerned that we're now reserved to just a change in administration instead of a legislative fix to what's going on at the border. I highly anticipate if President Trump were to win the election here in November, there would be several changes to the border policy that I would very much support. I just wish we as congressmen and women and body of Congress could actually address this. And there's real proposals out there, and we keep failing at finding a way to do it.
Yeah, and that's such an important key because things we know that what gets done by executive order gets undone by executive order and creates more uncertainty. And it is when Congress does it, then you got a real chance and a real shot to do the thing that's going to create lasting success or lasting impact.
Exactly.
Great perspective as always. That's why we appreciate you coming on the show to speak the truth and explore all the nuances underneath the headlines and the red hot rhetoric that's usually a distraction and prevents us from actually talking about the things we need to get to. Representative Blake Moore, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Important conversation. So we're going to stay with that conversation and look at a little bit of what is inside of that bill. Where does that money actually go? Matthew Petty from Reason, Reason.com, is going to join us coming up next to continue the conversation on what's happening on these major bills taking place in our nation's capital. We'll be right back.
Think again on Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson.